Anyway, let's go ahead and get the notes out. We last week looked at the crowns, three crowns. The nature of the crowns is that they're incorruptible. What did we say a crown related to? What did the crown give you? What type of crown was it? Yeah, it was a wreath that went on your head. The value wasn't in the crown itself, it was in the honor. You know, it was a recognition of sorts. You didn't become a king by getting this crown, but you became one that was honored. Okay? There are three crowns, at least in Scripture. That's what it looks like anyway. Some people call it one the incorruptible crown. And I think that's just relating to the nature of the crown, that it's not going to go away, rather than the fact that it's a different one. The three crowns that we identified as the crown of righteousness. These are in your notes, too, by the way. I shrunk them down. Your notes are like microscopic, so we should be handing out complimentary microscopes or something. But just in case, I think the main points are at least large enough to read if the text isn't. I'll be sure and read those for you. But the crown of righteousness, Paul says, finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So the rewarded behavior is righteous living focused on the return of the Lord. And all these kind of tie together, but your life is hinged upon the Lord coming back, not on your temporal existence. You're making choices based upon the Lord's return. You're looking ahead. The second crown is the crown of life. James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. We said there were different words. This could be translated. Temptation is one. Trial, yeah. So you might think of difficulty, okay? The one who endures temptation, endures kind of hanging on through temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So the first one is loving his appearing. Here is loving him. And if you recall, there's like, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. That's how it's tied in there. It's not an emotion. It's an action that's related to it about loving the Lord. The rewarded behavior is enduring temptation out of love for the Lord. So looking ahead is the first one, the crown of righteousness. Keeping on is the second crown, enduring. Third crown seems to be related specifically to pastoring. Peter says in 1 Peter, shepherd, I've shrunk it down, so even the verses won't necessarily reflect all. It says 1 Peter 5:1-4. It's not, I think I took one verse off to fit it in, so that's true of a lot of these in here. It gives the full passage, but I took just the essence of the passage. For these, but to shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So here's a crown of glory here. And the rewarded behavior seems to be shepherding or pastoring God's people, God's way, and the key words we used were caring carefully. Okay, I had a hard time kind of summarizing that in two words, but that seems to, what you do and how you do it seems to be related there. So the crowns, and it's interesting that God encourages us to do right with eternal rewards that seem to be related to honor that will not fade. We mentioned the Olympics last week. Again, people that you may have never heard of, now you know of them if you've followed the Olympics at all, because they've earned the gold medal or the silver medal. But sooner or later, that glory will fade. In fact, it fades quickly. Maybe not so much in the United States, because we leverage that with finances. You know, you get the gold medal, you're now going to be a commentator for the next 12 years at the next Olympics, you know, whatever the case might be. But the glory will fade. But this glory, whatever it is, this honor, you're going to have a status for following the Lord that will not change in all of eternity. And that's what makes the difference. These are eternal positions of honor. If you will, think about it, gold medals, in a sense, that you will continually reap the reward for, that God says, because you do this for me, you look for my return, because you keep my commandments now, I will reward you for eternity with this extra level of honor that only people that do this get. It, notice, they're conditional. All right? Let's pray. Then we're going to look at another aspect of rewards. They're related, I believe, but they're different. So, Lord, help us to see you as someone that deserves everything we have, but continues to encourage us to do right by rewarding us, by promising us eternal repayment, by doing something that you deserve anyway, and yet you say, I will give this to you, I will do this for you or to you because we obey you and pursue you in this life. And help us, Lord, to see how much you desire for us to walk the way you designed us to walk, and that you will reward us for doing so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why live for God? Future rewards for faithful followers. Rewards, faithful. There's a tie-in here. We have the crowns. Number two, do you have a line there? And it's a better resurrection. Now, I believe that relates to the first. The crowns, I believe, are a positional thing. Number one is crowns. It's already in your notes here. Crowns. Number two is a better resurrection. Now, it might seem self-serving to think this way, but it's as biblical as the day is long. You know, we should serve the Lord just because he's God and who he is and what he's done, right? And that's true, but God goes out of his way and says, no, I'm going to reward you if then, that you see that throughout. He's encouraging us to do right and to make different decisions now than we would because of what is coming ahead. And it's conditional. Some will be rewarded and some will not be rewarded. And it's based upon what you choose to do. It doesn't impact your salvation. Your salvation is through Christ alone. Okay, he's the propitiation for our sins. He's the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. That's 1 John 2:2. But Christ goes on to say, we looked at what discipleship is, putting God before people, putting God before all pursuits, all possessions. We need to be truth lovers, people lovers, and fruit bearers, all of that. And then he goes on to say, if you do this as I command you and as I expect you to do, I will reward you for eternity. So it makes a difference. It's worth the self-denial. It's worth the hard choices now, because God will make it all worthwhile in the end. So we're going to kind of describe this better resurrection, these nine reasons above and beyond the crowns, which seem to be lasting honor that will put you in a different position than someone who has not fulfilled those conditions. And God is encouraging everyone to do that. It's obtainable. How many gold medals do you get in a race? One. This is available to anyone and everyone. You don't have to be 7 foot tall. You don't have to worry about throwing a 20-foot jump shot. You don't have to worry about doing the mogul or the slalom and speed skating in a circle. That just doesn't get me. You know, why not race to the tree or whatever? But anyway, but whatever the case might be, only one person wins. Here, Any and all can. It's not excluding anyone. It's encouraging everyone to gain this better resurrection. Okay, so let's look at 9 reasons why it's better. And it's not really listed that way. You might want to put because this or whatever. I haven't listed it that way. It's not as fine-tuned as maybe it should be. But number one, we're really establishing the fact that this is true. There is such thing as a better resurrection. You need to sacrifice now, is the principle. Sacrifice now for later. Okay, that's an R. I know it looks like a slalom course, but sacrifice now and for later. That's the essence of God's rewards, is you are choosing not to do what you feel, not that will temporally benefit you, but what will honor God, fear God, and ultimately position you for eternity differently. Okay? Notice here, I put down words, it's possible and preferred. Notice the difference. Hebrews 11:35. Women received their dead raised to life again, not what we're looking at today. And others were what? Tortured. Found good or not? Is that on your list of things that's done to you today? Tortured. Not anything, right? Notice this stuff. People understood the torture had something to do with standing for God. Another swap. This is like tag team wrestling, only I'm the only one on my team. Okay? So people have died. Constantly throughout history have died. Abel died at the hand of Cain. Okay? God doesn't normally deliver. Notice here. Not accepting deliverance. Why? Because it doesn't hurt? Have you ever been burned at the have you ever burned your finger? I remember playing with matches one time. I wasn't supposed to. I burned my finger. And, of course, I went whimpering to my dad, who, frankly, had no mercy. You play with fire, you get burned. Maybe that'll teach you a lesson, I believe, was his response. And it did. I didn't play with matches again. How many have been burned at the stake? Multitudes have been burned at the stake for the cause of Christ. Many have been given the option not to be, and they said no. N-O, big N, big O, no. I will not turn away from God. Why would you do that? Why would you say no if there's a chance of getting away? Anyone here like pain? No, that's why there's such things as anesthesia and Novocaine, right? Or even aspirin. right? Judy said she has a headache, you know, from the concussion, the kind of thing. That hurts. We take stuff so that doesn't hurt. So we go out of our way to avoid pain. You know, if you have back problems, you go in and get cortisone injected. Why? So there's no pain or reduced pain. Why would you allow yourself to be tortured to death? Because there's something better at the other side. Notice here what it says again, and this is huge. This is, if you don't remember anything else I say today, understand that living for God is worth doing because God will make it up to you so that whatever you experience on this earth, including being tortured to death, will seem incidental compared to how God will reward you for it. You live for that life rather than this life. God will make the difference. It's no comparison. It's worth going through all of that because of what's to come. And by the way, what's to come will not end. And people see that. That I'm not on the platform for an hour and then my glory is over. The glory never fades. That I might obtain a better resurrection, the Bible says. Why would you go through torture, be put to death because of Christ? Because you'll obtain a better resurrection. It's worth standing for God, which is the right thing to do. Why would you do that? Because God is bigger than I am. He allowed me to go here. He allowed me to be in this point at this time. And He will make it worthwhile on the other side. So sacrifice now for later is the idea of the better resurrection. That's a characteristic of that. Why? I'm going to read it one more time because the verse is so powerful. I'll read that part that's related to this. And others were tortured. This is the hall of faith, remember? At Hebrews 11, all these people believed God. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, which means they were offered an alternative. Reject Christ in some way and all will be well. They didn't do that, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And they saw that that made the difference. Okay, that's what made the difference. Eternity lasts forever. This is but a moment. Paul wrote, and he wrote something similar in two places. So it's in Ephesians or 1 Corinthians. But it says something like this, but our light affliction. Now, if you know anything about Paul, light affliction, we would be like, we're laughing about having a hard time sitting on the couch. And Paul had been stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, all of those things, right? And he says, but our light affliction, which is but for a moment, will yield for us a more eternal and glorious honor or whatever. The idea is that what we suffer now is incidental to what our rewards will be. And so therefore it's worth it. Okay? It's a light affliction compared to the payback. Okay? It's like, really? That's all you had to do to get all of this for eternity? Yeah. I died in 15 minutes. It was over and done with, and it changed all of eternity. Now that it might sound masochistic, but it's not. You're standing for God rather than for self. And remember, Jesus was put to death, right? It's not outside the realm of Christianity. So number one, sacrifice now for later, because later is better. Later is a better reward. In that same passage, I don't think I have it in here. I had to pare this down so much it wasn't even funny. But we looked at Moses, who was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, who chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Or the King James says the pleasures of sin for a season. Because he understood, this is my paraphrase now, but he understood the nature of the reward whatever you could give him in Egypt with the power, passion, the privileges, the possessions of the greatest kingdom in the world did not in any way compare to what God was going to pay him. The rewards didn't even compare. These go away when I die. These never end when I do. All right? That's the essence of what we're trying to lay down here. Why live for God? Why live for God even on the mundane, routine day? Because of eternity. That's what makes the difference. Now, number two here. Again, I wish I had more time to refine this so it sounded better. There's a present incentive. Present incentive of, and the next word is future judgment and reward. So the word here is present and future. Okay, we're contrasting those. There's a present incentive. What's an incentive? Yeah. Somehow the incentive to go down the mogul. You know what the mogul is, don't I don't really know for sure, but it's going downhill in purposefully planted potholes. Down a hill. And you're like, who would have started that as a sport? You know, and who would keep doing it? Because it looks like they're just literally beating the tar out of their bodies. Well, what's the incentive to do that? The gold medal, the prestige, the honor, and probably the financial remuneration you get too. You know, you get in the history books and all of that. The incentive. Why would you do what you do? There's present incentive for future judgment and reward. Look at 1 Corinthians 3 here now. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. Notice that phrase is repeated again. What sort it is. So all of us work, all of us do things. What are you doing? Is it something that lasts? Or is it something that does not last? That seems the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. God is going to reward you for anything you do that is eternal in nature. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've done some special ministry in a church. Raising a child is eternal in nature. Do you understand that? In fact, that's one of the few things that is eternal, and most women forget that in our day. They let someone else do the eternal things and they do the temporal. Make sense? The world follows the temporal. Okay? They will receive a reward. What you do, if it sustains itself, if you will, in eternal terms, someone has said there's two things that last forever, God's word and God's people. And so that's the focus that you should relate on there. Here's another passage. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is by fire. Understand that it's an issue of reward or losing reward. It's not an issue of salvation. But again, the rewards are eternal. The rewards are eternal. You want rewards. You want this eternal reward. And God wants you to want the eternal rewards. That's why He tells you, every work you do will be judged. And you will be rewarded for it, or you will lose the opportunity of the reward because of what sort it is. You did this for yourself. You did this without you know, you made decisions based upon you rather than on God, and it's things that are temporal rather than eternal. Matthew 16, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to His works. Do you think Jesus is trying to get a point across? He wants you. He wants you to have incentive to do right, to do good in His eyes, because He wants to reward you, and He wants you to want those rewards. That is not an unspiritual focus. Why do right? Because God will make it up in the end. Revelation 22:12, one of the last things that is written in the Word of God. One of the last things written in the Word of God. Notice Revelation 22:12, and behold, Jesus says, I am coming quickly, and what? And my reward is with me to give to everyone, what? Everyone. Is there a period at the end of the sentence? What does it say? What's the qualifying factor? Does everyone, here, gold medals for everybody. Tick, 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 tick. No, He gives them according to their work. So there's a cause and effect, if you will. There's a condition and a fulfillment. You get rewarded for what you do. Okay? That's a present incentive for future reward. Everything you do will be judged with the idea that God wants to reward you for it. But if you waste your life by pursuing self, you will get no rewards. And God is saying, I want to reward you. Matthew 16, I think it says, I'm going to turn there. I'll read it because it's better than I can quote it right now. Listen to this. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will what? Lose it. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about rewards. I'll show you that more in a minute. But He says, whoever loses his life, and notice, here's the eternal part, for My sake, we'll find it. And then the next verse says, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world? What is that? Temporal? Yeah. And loses his own, and it says soul, but it's exactly the same word that's translated life in the previous verse. It's not talking about eternal destiny based upon your works. It's talking about eternal rewards. You can gain the whole world. You're the president. You're the celebrity. You're the richest person, you know, or whatever you consider is that ideal goal. But if you get there, and you wasted your life. Because why? Because the majority of life is eternity, isn't it? Really? Because it's when you start thinking about it, it's like, man, someone's this old, and it's like, wow, that's really old. And we think of, you know, someone that lives to be 80 or 90 or even 100 or 120 or whatever, and then it's like, oh, but, you know, Moses was 500 when he built the ark, and Methuselah was 969 when he died. And it's like, in the millennium, it says someone who dies at 100 will seem, oh, they died tragically young, right? Well, think about it in eternity. After a while, we're going to stop asking how long you lived. Because whether you died in your mother's womb, or whether you lived to be Methuselah's age, compared to how long you've existed, that will almost be irrelevant. I mean, it's going to be smaller and smaller portion. It'll be, wow, I've been in heaven as long as I was on earth. I think I've shared before, it's like I remember the time when I had been married as long as I had been at home. That was kind of a milestone. Well, this will be like that. It's like, well, I've been in, you know, with Christ as long as I was there. And after a while, I've been with Christ twice as long, and pretty soon 10 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times as long. And all of a sudden, all that you've done and all that you've experienced, that life will seem incidental, except that it will make all the difference as far as your rewards in that life. Again, it makes all the difference. My reward is with me. Number three. Again, God wants us to look forward because He's going to reward us. He wants that to be an incentive now. The next one here, repayment and this is a small word, but at the resurrection. It's just A-T. Repayment at the resurrection. What's God is saying, you know what? The difference will be made up in an incredible way at the resurrection. So it's something you look forward to rather than, wow, I spent myself for God and it's all over. God doesn't talk in those terms. He says, whatever you've done for me, I will repay you. And even more so, we'll talk about this. Luke 14, then Jesus, He also said to him who invited Him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. You might want to circle repaid. God says, anything that you do that gets paid back in this life, hey, it's equalized. He even said that to the Pharisees. They give so that they can be seen of men. And He says, guess what? They have their reward. Their reward is being seen by men now. Okay? And He says, what you do to those who can't repay you. And guess what? Then I'm indebted to you. I'll pay you back. Now that ties into our discipline of giving somewhat. But God says He'll pay us back at the resurrection. God keeps a record of everything you do. There are so many verses. I'm just scanning here real quick because we're not going to hit on another verse. We'll see. Number four, I got to keep moving anyway. Number four, God will pay for the resurrection. Number four, rewards. Rewards that last and multiply. Which word do we have underlined? Multiply here, okay? What does multiply mean? Be fruitful and multiply. What does multiply mean? Make more. And not just, you can add and make more, yes? So multiply is, yeah, it's doubling, tripling, that's multiplying, okay? So rewards that last and multiply, I'm focusing on the word multiply because we'll probably get to the word lasting in a little bit. Matthew 25, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. We're coming in the middle of a parable here. We're skipping some of the beginning and some of the end. But Jesus told about a parable of a man who assigned money to different stewards, and then he comes back and holds them accountable. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful. Remember, that's the title. Future rewards for faithful followers. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you, what? Ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and what? Faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The last steward did nothing. He buried it and didn't do anything with it. It was temporal. But the idea is, God says you were faithful over what? A few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Understand that God will take what you do and multiply it. Faithful people, depending on how far this parable goes, but it appears that there will be rulers on the new earth. Remember, we don't stay in heaven forever, right? Heaven comes to earth. God the Father, God the Son come and live on earth. Okay? There will be people that rule over other people because of their faithfulness, not their, we think, political, you know, undermining and savvy. No, it's because of their faithfulness, and they will be doing it because God is honoring them for their honoring of God in this life. They will be ruling. There'll be different levels of ruling, and it's based upon faithfulness in what you've done with what God has given you, not what God has not given you. You know, this is a money thing that is an illustration, but it's over anything. But you hear people say, well, I'm doing this and so that I can become rich and then I can honor God with my money. And my question is always, what are you doing with what God has given you? As opposed to planning on what God, if God gave you this, it's what are you doing with what you have? Your abilities, your time, your money. Okay, God's not going to hold you accountable for something you don't know or are unable to do, whether it's in ability or finances. He's holding you accountable for what you do have. Okay? So, and it multiplies. You're faithful over a few things, I will make you a ruler over many things. That is unbelievable. That's why it's a better resurrection. Because people who do not do that will not be rulers, will not have this ongoing eternal honor that God wants to bless each one of us with. Many will live and do live for today and not for tomorrow. Number five, inheritance indicates permanence. A lot of people, I grew up hearing kind of the idea that your rewards are temporary, that God gives you, and then you cast all your crowns at the feet of God, and then it's over. What was the crown again? The crown was not the point, right? The crown is a symbol of your honor. Okay? The 24 elders cast their crowns before the Lord. I'm not arguing that that doesn't happen, but the honor remains. Inheritance indicates permanence. The idea that if you inherit something, that's something you have forever, not something that goes away after a week or a month or a year in eternity. What you get, number five, I'm just writing that part. What you get, probably receive would have been a better word. What you get, you keep. Why is it a better resurrection? Because what I get there, I'll keep. We're going to get into, and it's funny because these are kind of conjoining somewhat out here and in the giving part, but Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, but he says, don't put your treasure on earth where moth and rust corrupts and where thieves break in and steal, but put your treasure in heaven. How do you do that? It's by not focusing on this life. That's the only way. You're using your time, effort, energy, and money for eternal things rather than temporal things because the temporal don't last. Okay? What you get, you keep in eternity. What God gives you in eternity will be yours for all of eternity. That's why it's worth living for God now and denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Christ. Why? Because the rewards are there. Number six. These kind of overlap, as you'll see, but another future here. Future greatness. Future greatness. Luke 9. Then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be the greatest. This is the apostles now. Who's going to be the greatest? Remember the James and John's mother walked up and said, "Hey, you know, when you enter your kingdom, can my son sit on your right and left hand?" And by the way, to us, it's like right and left hand, big deal, you know. Sit down and enjoy yourself. No, those were positions exactly of what we're talking about, of honor, of control, of power, of prestige, of privilege. Okay? She was asking, okay? And then there's a dispute here. You got a parallel passage in Matthew that goes into a little more detail. Which of them would be the greatest, the idea greatest position of honor? You know, which of us are, you know, leaders, you know, we've come to the top. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him and said to them, "Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me." Wow, that takes the wind. People don't like working with kids. Have you noticed? They don't like working with kids. They let other people take care of their kids while they go to work. You notice that? They don't like working with kids at churches because they're a hassle. Right? And Jesus said, turns everything upside down and says, "Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me." All of a sudden he's saying, oh, the hard stuff, the stuff that nobody wants to do, that's the honorable thing. And he says, "Whoever receives me receives him who sent me, for he who is least among you all will be," and I might want to emphasize the word "will be," what? Great. And that's what Matthew 20 talks about too. The least among you will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. He's not saying it's only good to do that because it's right to be humble, but he's saying no, that is what I'm going to be measuring. It's not going to be who's at the top of the ladder, it's who is serving. And it's interesting that he ties it in with children of all things. That again, in our society, people don't like children. I don't know if you notice that. They like having children sometimes, but not the "you receive a child" idea. Future greatness. If you have time this week, review the full passages that are there and also the parallel passages. I've had to pare this down in an amazing way here. I had 4 of these sheets, okay? So you're getting 1 here. 7. There's future greatness. 7 is lasting title and honor. Lasting title and honor. And again, we talk about it. What's the difference between now and then? If you're the president or the expert or the celebrity or the whatever title that you can pursue in your realm, you're the well-known, you're the popular, that'll go away because someone's going to come along. You know, you're the best-selling author. Well, not anymore, kind of thing, okay? The title and honor will not end. Matthew 5:19, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven." The idea of not practicing what you teach. "But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." I don't believe that necessarily requires formal teaching either. You don't have to have a class to fulfill that. "He shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Greatness in the kingdom of heaven does not end. Okay? You will have eternal honor from God. Your title and honor will be lasting. It will continue as it will not do here on earth. Number 8.
Here's the word future again. Okay, if I told you, if you do this, let's see. If you would not eat anything until tomorrow, I'll give you a peanut butter sandwich tomorrow. And if you're hungry today, I give you a peanut butter sandwich today. Incentive? What do you got to gain or lose by waiting for tomorrow? The only thing you gain is maybe what you lose by not eating till tomorrow, right? No incentive. What does God say? Luke 6, there's future great reward. But love your enemies. You ever thought about, oh, it's right to love your enemies. It's good to love your enemies. Why should you love your enemies? It's right. It's good. It displays the love of God. And God will reward you greatly for it. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be what? Great. Let's see. What do I have to do to get great reward? Love my enemies? Really? Really? Do good? Lend? With the idea of not getting anything back? People that need, I give to them without expecting back? And your reward will be great! No, we talked about the multiply before too. All of these kind of tie in together. Your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High. And characteristically, you will be just like what God is like. For He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. God wants you to reflect Him, and He will reward you greatly for it. How about this Luke 6:22? I guess I got it backwards here. Blessed are you when men hate you. Ooh, people hate me. Yeah! You know, then it's something we go home. It's like, honey, I got 3 more people to hate me today. Whatever. No, that isn't the idea. It's because you stand for God. And when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil, here's the qualification here. For the Son of Man's sake, they do all of these things because you're walking with God, because you're talking about God, because you're standing for God. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy when people are hating you, reviling you. They're casting out your name as evil when you're standing for God. For indeed, your reward is what? Great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. God is saying, oh, don't cower and run away. He's saying, rejoice. And what does it say? Weep for joy. Boy, that'll perplex your enemies a little bit. he's jumping up and down. You know, I just told him he's fired because he's walking with God and he's jumping up and down. Yay! And it's like, because you just did me a favor. I'm being rewarded. Great is your reward in heaven. Again, the future reward is great. It's worth sacrificing the now for the future, the now for the later. It's a better resurrection. It's better than anything you can have here. Number 9. Lasting rewards. And they're repeating terms, future, lasting, future. Okay? Lasting rewards. Here's that passage for Moses here. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, Hebrews 11, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Moses, are you insane? You have access to literally everything that most people could not even dream of. Education, prestige, money, the easy life, servants. Even you can pursue your lusts in any way, shape, or form that you want because of your position. And he gives all of this up. choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Again, you compare all of the money in the world at that time, Egypt, the biggest empire in the world at the time, and God's reward. This will go away. This will be multiplied much greater than you could ever have here. Remember, great is your reward. Okay? It's like, bing, 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 bing. It's no comparison. It's like, absolutely not. I'm not crazy. You're crazy. He looked to the reward. Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. You're laying up treasures in heaven. They're lasting. They don't rust. They don't. The moth can't eat them and thieves can't steal them. What would it matter if they didn't last for you? Make sense? What's the point? Oh, I put them there and I lose them there. No, they're permanent. They last. 1 Timothy 6:18 and 19. Let them do good. They're talking about those that are rich in 1 Timothy 6, which rich, we immediately, oh, we're not rich. Well, most people in the world, we consider every one of us here rich. Okay? Let them, the rich, do good that they may be rich in what? Good works, ready to give, willing to share. Notice here, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Not to gain eternal life, but really enjoy eternal life. It's the whole putting treasures ahead again. Because the money you have here now isn't transferable in any other way except for using it in eternal means. Now, why live for God? Because of a better resurrection. Sacrifice now for later is the key principle. Present incentive of future judgment. God wants to reward you. He's encouraging you to do this with rewards. He will repay you with the resurrection, and that repayment lasts forever. The rewards last and they multiply. He who gives, this is the one I didn't know for sure if I'd quoted it or not, that he who gives a glass of water in my name will not go unrewarded, God says. You're like thinking, I didn't preach a sermon. I didn't teach a class. I didn't give a big check. I couldn't. And he says, you give a glass of water. That will be rewarded greatly. You do what you can do is what you're held accountable for, not what you can. He who gives a glass of water in a prophet's name will receive what? Prophet's reward. You're not going to get cheated because you've got two minas instead of five, so to speak. Don't think that you're unprofitable where you're at. Most people do that. They make life-changing decisions because they say, I cannot be something significant here. And God says, what Bible are you reading? Right? Rewards that last and multiply. Inheritance indicates permanence. You get to keep what God gives you. Future greatness that comes up, you will be great. Lasting title and honor, that ties in with future greatness, I think, but it won't go away. Future great reward, the great rewards will be there. And that's the incentive. If you only got the peanut butter sandwich today or tomorrow, big deal. But if tomorrow you got a steak dinner, I didn't finish the analogy. If you wait tomorrow, I'll give you a steak dinner for lunch. I'll give you a full buffet for breakfast. And for dinner, we're going out to Red Lobster, whatever trick. Then you're like, hey, I'll wait for tomorrow. That's what God is doing. The rewards are great. And then lasting rewards, they don't go away. God wants us to live for Him, and He's more than encouraging you to do it because He makes it worthwhile. You be faithful because where you are with what God has given you, because God will make it up. he will repay you. Even a glass of water in his name will not go unrewarded. That blows my mind. So everything you do at home, everything you do wherever you're at, how you respond, all of those things will be acknowledged and repaid by God. Do we deserve that? No. But God promised that to give us incentive to do that. Let's pray. Lord, help us to walk with you and to live for you, because you will make the difference in eternity. Help us not to be driven by the temporal. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.